Hello and welcome to the Green Business Podcast, a show about climate entrepreneurs and their exciting businesses. I am your host Bharti for these weekly conversations about scaling up a climate-driven business. My guest today is Dr. Medha Tadpatrikar, co-founder of Rudra Environment. Rudra offers a unique solution to tackle non-recyclable plastic waste such as chips wrappers, chocolate covers, etc. by converting it back to oil. This oil is then used as a fuel in many industries. Since plastic waste collection is also a problem, Rudra has built a robust collection network which collects plastics from around 35,000 houses in Pune. Rudra started its operations in 2009. And by 2010, its first manufacturing facility was ready. It has now three such facilities, and additionally, it has been selling its solutions to other waste generators as well. Medha has a PhD in branding, and she was running Mantra Research, a marketing consulting company, prior to co-founding Rudra. She has also set up Keshav Sita Memorial Foundation, an NGO that helps Rudra in waste collection process. Hi Medha, thank you for making time today. Looking forward to our conversation.
Hi Bharti, and thank you very much for inviting me today. And I'm also looking forward to, you know, chatting up with you.
Yeah, so Medha, I would want to start our conversation with the origin story of Rudra. Why did you want to solve the problem of plastic waste?
To tell you the truth, you know, never started Rudra with that we want to solve the problem. I call myself and Shirish accidental environmentalist. Shirish, my co-founder, is an avid photographer. So we had gone to one of the wildlife sanctuaries, and there we couldn't go into particular area because a deer has been killed. And then, you know, it was like, you know, why was the deer killed? Was it a tiger? But then we found out afterwards that it died because of the, you know, they found a plastic inside the stomach of that deer. And when we came back, it was like, you know, why people do something like that? You know, why shouldn't people, you know, somebody should do something about it. You know, every time the same conversation, I think all of us have. But after a certain time, you know, I think a couple of months down the line, me and Shirish looked at each other and said, yeah, exactly like everyone. We see the problem and don't want to do anything. And especially waste and nothing like that. But, you know, we actually started, we had no idea because Shirish is a cost accountant. My background was marketing. So we actually, you know, first 3 months, we literally just spoke to people to understand what plastic is, what is the problem. And then we said, okay, let's at least find out if we can do something about it. Right. And our aha moment actually came when we saw a piece of ice melt. Hmm. And it was just simple that if the water turns to ice turns to water, can we do exactly the same thing with plastic? You know, and we have no background in engineering, so we just, you know, literally started burning the plastic. That's how, you know, the journey of Rudra started. And, you know, we put it in the pressure cooker, and we did manage, but it took us almost 6 to 8 months to get the fuel out of the plastic. And, you know, I think, and since then, I think this cause has chosen us. And I think, you know, we have dedicated last almost 11-12 years for the cause now.
Right. And did you, so when you started, you know, breaking plastics in your kitchen, in the cooker, etc., there must have been a time when you had to design the machines, right? So did you have to design them from scratch, or were these machines available and you had to just assemble them?
No, we started from scratch. You know, first actually, we had managed to do it in our a large cooker. So the first machine, if you look at it, it resembles the cooker, pressure cooker. Okay. You know, so you know, Shirish and me used to do, you know, draw it on a piece of paper, and then the engineers and designers used to, you know, put it in their machine and, you know, make it into fabrications and everything. But yeah, we designed it from a scratch. Even when we had a problem after the first machine was built, we realized that we are emitting the gases out, because you generate the gas, liquid and the char inside, and we were letting the gas out. So the day we realized, we scrapped the machine and we went to the kind of a drawing board, understanding what this gas was, and took us almost 2.5 years to build a second machine where we started using this gas as a heating source. So everything, you know, was done in-house, everything was done on the piece of paper, and we designed and we improved and everything ourselves. So there was no such machine available at that time. But now, yes, there are machines available like ours.
So that's wonderful. And now, can you talk about your key offerings? What are your key solutions now, and how have they changed from, let's say, 10 years back when you just started?
Basically, our focus has always been the thin plastic, you know, all the wrapping, like you were saying about biscuit wrappers and chips wrappers, as well as there is so much of the other kind of plastic, which is traditionally non-recyclable.
Right.
You know, all the thick plastic does get recycled. And, you know, in India, we have a brilliant system of recycling the PET bottles and other kind of plastic, which gets converted into granules, which is made into plastic again. But if you look at it in all the bags, wrapping, there is no value to it, monetary value.
Right.
So our focus has always been on you know, converting that kind of a plastic into usable fuel, and the thick plastic as well. So it's all kind of a plastic. And the beauty about it is you don't need to segregate. You know, all kind of plastic goes in together. There is no discrimination among plastic, I like to say. So, you know, all the mixed plastic, so, you know, the segregation cost also goes down. So it becomes more viable kind of a thing. And the fuel that comes out can be used as it is, or we can distill it again. And it is used in the industry as well. So, you know, that has been our key offering. And I think when I look at our old machine and now, the designs have changed, because we learned quite a bit about different type of plastic, how it reacts to the different temperatures and everything. So yes, the designs have changed. We have made, you know, I think the latest models are more efficient. We also have the catalyst, which has also evolved. We developed the catalyst ourselves from the day one. So that has evolved as well. So I think every day is a new learning. And if you ask me 10 years from now, I think, you know, we would have something totally different than what we are doing today.
Right. Right. So if I can summarize your business model, so you collect the plastic waste and then you convert it into oil, and that oil is then sold to industry or whoever needs it, and it can be distilled or undistilled, right?
That's right. Yes.
Okay, and how does the pricing for such a oil work? Because now, is it, because it is, you know, it may be substituting furnace oil or diesel or whatever, is it, so then is the pricing also benchmarked to diesel prices, as in now that we have 100 rupees for diesel, can you command higher price for your oil now?
Yes, we can, you know, because, you know, when you distill it, you can get more money. But, you know, our focus has been in the rural area as well. So we have been in the small businesses and rural areas. So we have been, you know, I think we have kept our prices as 40 to 42 rupees. Even in a village, you know, we sell it for 38 rupees, because ours is have been a social enterprise. You know, it's making a change in the society, making an impact. So yes, today we can get 60 rupees as well. But you know, I don't want to basically sell the oil to somebody who is already making a lot of money and just want to save. But I want to you know, sell the fuel so it has a more impact. I'll give an example. We are tied up with 52 villages where we give this fuel as instead of a kerosene. And, you know, a woman who needs to go out and cut the wood for the burning now doesn't have to go, you know, spend 1 hour and a half And she saves that much efforts and this time she can spend with her family. And also there is a less emission. So I think that is more impactful for us as a business than, you know, commanding 50 rupees or 60 rupees and selling it to the big business.
Yeah, got it. So your oil is largely sold to rural population at a fixed price, and main users are women who use it for household applications, right?
That's right. Monthly cooking. That's right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So if we look at Waste Enterprises Mega, for them the collection costs can be significant. In fact, if you look at large waste management companies, they are paid tipping fees for transporting the waste. Are you able to, given that your end price that you are charging is fixed, how are you then navigating this issue of transport cost? Does it impact your profitability? How are you able to manage it?
Yes, it does impact a little bit, but you know, the way we have realized, you know, for any waste management technology to be successful, you need to have end-to-end solution.
Right.
So if I'm just converting and saying, yeah, forget about, you know, how I get my plastic, it should not be the way. So we do spend a lot of time in, you know, creating awareness, why we need to do something about plastic, why need to segregate and things like that.
Yeah.
And also at the same time, we have developed a different kind of a collection system. See, we don't go to people's house every day.
Right.
So rather than that, we collect it every fortnightly or monthly, because then it's enough plastic. So if I start collecting just a small bag of plastic every day, my collection cost is going to be huge. But the moment I do it every 15 days, people also realize how much they are, you know, accumulating, and they also tend to, because they see it, they tend to use it less. So in that way, we actually reduce our collection cost and manage it. And people are, and because people keep it in their house for 15 days or a month, we get is a clean plastic, you know. So if you come to our facility, there is no smell, because, you know, people actually take care of the waste themselves. So I think it benefits us all. So we don't work with a tipping fee or everything. I think this is an easier way to collection, which saves the money, time, and effort as well.
No, this is a transformation of, you know, the collection process as such. This is huge, because yes, what you are doing is you are making people segregate at source, and then making them keep their waste for whatever time, and then you are collecting it so that your costs are under control and you don't have to spend on cleaning the plastic. This is excellent.
Yeah.
Okay, so if we talk about plastic to oil technology, or pyrolysis as it is called, worldwide it is not a very popular thing, right? People prefer to incinerate the plastic. They prefer to burn it as against recovering anything from it. So can you talk about why that may be the case? And then what are the risks, and how are you managing the risks related to the, conversion of plastic into oil?
Okay. Basically, the process we have developed is called thermocatalytic depolymerization, which is like a couple of steps ahead of pyrolysis. Is simply because our process finishes by 430 degrees, so we don't take it around 800-900 degrees. So, you know, the risks are much less. Also, when we have designed our machines, we have done all kind of certifications, you know, third party validations. So we only work with the stainless steel, because the safety of our team as well as environment is the most important for us, and we have done all the safety measures. So, you know, there are overriders and everything. We also made sure that the emission is not there. And I think it has taken us almost 7 years before, you know, we came out in the market to sell the product. So
right,
we have done all this inside. And like you were saying, that it is not popular worldwide, I would say as yet. See, the basic problem in this is the segregation. You know, there is no segregation, then you have, people tend to just burn it, because it is mixed in the, wet garbage is mixed with it, or people have put anything and everything in the plastic and they just throw it. So I think the change of habit in the way we segregate needs to be there. And also what happens is, you know, a lot of people want a huge, you know, big plants.
Right.
So people will ask you, can you make a 100-ton plant?
Right.
Yeah, but you know, getting 100 tons of plastic, which is a thin plastic, is a huge, like, you know, in a one truckload, you will get hardly 800, 900 kilos. So if you want 100 tons, you know, it's like 120 truckloads.
Yes.
Now,
yeah.
Where are you going to keep it? You know, the capex and everything. So instead of that, if people start to put up a decentralized that, you know, wherever it is generated, it takes care of that plastic there and then, the cost of logistics and everything will go down. And, you know, it is profitable. I'm happy to say that one of our machines will be going, you know, we'll be installing one machine in Europe by end of this year. And even in America, we'll be getting a lot of inquiries. And there is, even in American Chemical Society, they are looking at this as accepted and as a, you know, usable solution. So I hope in next couple of years, you know, the way people look at this kind of technologies would change. And basically, when people think of pyrolysis, they only think of tires, you know, which creates a huge amount of pollution. So that needs to change. But I think things are changing, and I'm hopeful that, you know, things become more positive and popular within the next 4 to 5 years.
Yeah, actually, you are offering a very beautiful insight here. So as against doing a centralized waste management system, if there is a decentralized system, then the costs are lower and the pollution is also lower. So I think that's wonderful, Megha. Then now that you talk about decentralized system, I was thinking that can entrepreneurs start this business? Like, for example, let's say people in Hyderabad or wherever, where there is plenty of plastic around, can they buy your machines and you know, start converting that plastic to oil? Because they will be able to manage waste collection in a small area. That shouldn't be a problem.
Yes, they can and they will. We have actually just sold one of the plants to a young entrepreneur who will be doing, you know, it's a small plant of 300 kilos. But our focus is that, you know, that you should have a machine where, you know, collection of plastic is much more easier. You know, machine should work for all days instead of two or three times a week. So, you know, the first time when people come to us and say, you know, can I start something, we first ask them that go back and find out how much plastic actually you can get,
collect.
Me coming and saying to you, yeah, buy a 10 tons of machine, see, end of that, I will make more money if I sell you the machine. But if it doesn't work, then, you know, it reflects on the way we do business as well.
Right.
So we also work with somebody coming to us and to find out how much plastic actually they can get. So if you're getting something like a 700-800 kilos easily, you suggest people that just buy a, you know, 500 kilo machine rather than, you know, buying something, because only then you will be able to get your money back. Only then the efficiency of the machine, or, you know, effectiveness of the business will work. And we are seeing a lot of younger crowd and younger generation is getting involved. And I'm telling you that in the last couple of months, we are getting a lot of inquiries from this young entrepreneurs. And yes, we are trying to make sure that we can support them, not only, selling the machine, but also supporting them in creating that environment of circular economy.
Yeah.
So, you know, how they can collect, how they can create awareness, you know, where they can sell the fuel, you know, so we support in all the way. So it's just not that you buy the machine and thank you very much and we don't want to know you. It's not that kind of, you know, business model we are working on. So yes, if you can want to get into, this is an exciting sector. So if anybody wants to get into this, yes, please do connect and we'll see how we can, you know, build a business together.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Good. And lastly, Megha, waste management enterprises find it challenging to raise capital. So can you share your experience? about raising capital. Please talk about what worked and what could have been done better.
Yes, actually, we started with the bootstrapping. So whatever we were earning in other businesses, we were putting in into our this business. So, we had done like all entrepreneurs do, putting up the house for the mortgage, this and that. But at a certain time, we realized that, we need funds. So basically, without we going out and looking for a investor came looking out for us,
Okay.
So the Blue Planet Environmental Solution, which is a Singapore-based company, are the ones who wanted to create a company which has can offer all kind of a solutions in a waste management. So from collection, processing on the organic waste, e-waste, construction and debris, as well as plastic. So we were fortunate to have met these guys, and I think we just hit it off. And we did receive this funding in 2018, which has helped us, expanding our base, which has helped us in reaching out to the new markets, as well as other kind of a support as well, because with this we can actually go to any ULBs and can offer an integrated solution. So all the technologies are there. So instead of we just saying that we'll just work on the plastic, we work with the team where all kind of a waste management technologies are offered. So if you want to raise the funds, my suggestion would be, just make sure that whatever you have is a solid, that you can showcase that you have done the work, rather than saying, if you give the money, I'll invent this. I think the fund comes to people who already can showcase that, that they have a product and there is a market acceptance. And I think that's what we had. That's why easy for us. I think next time, if I have to do it again, I'll try to get some more money, as everybody says. So that's the only thing, really.
Yeah, I think so. What worked for you was having the integrated business model, and you already had traction, and you're managing the entire chain, from collection to sale of fuel. So I think that's what worked for you.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Then thank you, Megha, for this exciting conversation, and all the best for your journey ahead.
Thank you, Bharti, for inviting me, and thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to the Green Business Podcast. For free resources and materials, head over to findtrain.com. Thank you so much.